Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So at camp, there's this game called Honey If You Love Me. And the way it works is that everybody stands in a circle with one person in the middle. The person in the middle walks up to somebody in the circle and says, "Honey, if you love me, will you please, please smile?" The person asked is supposed to say, "Honey, you know I love you, but I just can't smile." The trick is that the person asking the question is trying to make the other person smile. Right? So they can be as goofy or as silly as they want. But the one rule is they can't touch the other person. Right? So no tickling. That means the person who answers is trying to say their line with a straight face. So it's not that they can't smile. It's that they won't smile. If they do, then they become the new person in the middle. Right? It can be a fun game to play and it makes a lot of people laugh. But for some people, it's a whole lot harder than it sounds. Both in keeping a straight face and in making somebody else smile. And if trying to get somebody to smile is all you're going for, then asking that question is pretty safe. But in our relationships and the rest of our lives, sometimes that question isn't so tame. Honey, if you love me, will you... dot, dot, dot. Although usually it's more of a command than a question. Honey, if you love me, then you would... pick whatever it is. Pick up your socks from the floor. Put the toilet seat down. Have dinner ready when I come home. Listen to me. Remember our anniversary. Spend all your time with me. Avoid any other romantic relationships. Do what I tell you to do. Sleep with me. Whatever it is. Whether or not we walk up to somebody and say, "Honey, if you love me, will you..." dot, dot, dot. We all have expectations of the people around us. And not just in romantic relationships, but any kind of relationship. Right? Parents and friends, the people at the drive-thru window, the cashiers at the store, our governmental leaders, babysitters, whoever it is. And sometimes these expectations get spelled out. Right? That's why we have job descriptions and contracts and written agreements. But sometimes they're not spelled out. But either way, spoken or unspoken, expectations can often go unmet. Sometimes the person just won't do what we expect them to do. They just won't smile. For example, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So imagine that last night with Jesus and his disciples. They're all gathered together. Jesus is in the middle and all the disciples are standing around him. He goes up to each one and he says, "Disciple, if you love me, will you please, please keep my commandments?" Then the disciple says, "Jesus, you know I love you, but I just can't keep your commandments." Right? Making someone smile isn't that big a deal, but keeping commandments is. And Jesus expects that we'll keep his commandments. Right? He expects that we'll do what he says. But sometimes we don't. Not because we're trying to keep a straight face, but sometimes because we're just selfish. Right, think about all the things that people want you to do, but you don't really want to do them. Like, you don't really want to clean the toilet. You don't really want to write that assignment. You don't really want to go to that boring meeting. You'd rather do something much more enjoyable. But on the other hand, sometimes we don't do what they ask because we feel incompetent. Like maybe somebody expects you to be a basic handyman, but you don't even know the difference between a flathead screwdriver and a Phillips head screwdriver. Or maybe they expect that you'll be a good cook, but you don't even know how to make scrambled eggs. Or maybe they expect that you'll be a good parent, but you don't have a clue what you're doing. In other words, it's one thing to say, "Honey, you know I love you, but I just won't smile." And it's another to say, "Honey, you know I love you, but I just can't smile." Maybe the disciples simply don't know how to do what Jesus is asking. They think they can't do it. Right, it's not that they haven't seen love in action. I mean, they've seen Jesus. He is love in action. The problem here is that Jesus is about to leave them, and everything's changing. Right, think about what we heard in the gospel reading last week. This one follows right after that one. Jesus is giving his farewell discourse to the disciples. He's telling them all the things he wants them to remember after he's gone. And one of those things is, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." But Jesus has just told them that he's going to die. And Judas is about to betray him. And Peter's about to deny him. And everybody else is hours away from leaving him. So loving is not the first adjective that comes to mind for this group right now. They're more scared and selfish and sinful than they are loving. And what are these commandments that Jesus wants them to keep anyway? Well, earlier in the scene he said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Right, so it's all about love and doing things and expectations. But sometimes those expectations aren't spelled out. "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Fantastic. But what does that look like? Can you be a little more specific there, Jesus? How are we supposed to do that when you're not here to show us how? Well, think about those areas in your life where you have felt incompetent. Maybe it was handiwork. Maybe it was cooking. Maybe it was parenting. Whatever it was. Or whatever it is. There's some part of your life that you're supposed to be, quote, successful in, and people expect you to do a good job at it, but secretly you feel like a failure. In those times, I imagine that there is someone there to support you and cheer you on. Right? Like maybe there was someone who took you into their workshop and showed you how to measure twice and cut once. Maybe there was someone who took you into their kitchen and showed you how to make cooking into an art. Maybe there was someone who modeled what being a loving parent looks like, and gave you an example on how to do it. In those times when things are changing and you feel completely clueless, someone was there to walk alongside of you and help you. For those first disciples, that person was Jesus. But now he's leaving. But then Jesus said to them, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, namely the Holy Spirit." And notice that he said another advocate, which implies that Jesus himself is an advocate too. All right, when we think of an advocate, we think of someone who supports someone else. In fact, the Greek term for Holy Spirit is paraclete, which literally means one who is called alongside of. So the Holy Spirit walks alongside of us, advocates for us, encourages us, very much like Jesus himself did. And so when that person taught you how to be a handyman, or how to cook, or how to be a good parent, that was an example of the Holy Spirit at work. But Jesus wasn't telling his disciples to just fix a broken door or cook a meal or raise children. He was telling them to keep his commandments. He was telling us to love people as he loved us. So how does that play out? Well, like those original disciples, sometimes we don't feel very loving. Sometimes it's because we're scared or selfish or sinful. But sometimes it's because our culture equates love with happy chemicals in our brains. We think love is about feeling deep affection for somebody else. But it's not. Love is not about feelings. It's about commitment. It's about being there alongside of the other person, even if you don't feel like it. For example, after that night with his disciples, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed for this cup to pass from him. He didn't feel like dying, but he did it anyway. Even though he knew his disciples were broken people, he was still committed to them. He was still committed to the world. He was still committed to you. And however he feels about us now, whether we make him happy or sad or whatever, we can count on the fact that he is always committed to us. And so that means when you see someone who is committed to you, regardless of how they feel about you, there's the Holy Spirit at work. And when you are committed to someone else, regardless of how you feel about them, then there's the Holy Spirit at work too. Now that's not to say you should let somebody walk all over you, but it is to say that cleaning the toilet or writing that assignment or going to that meeting are all signs of love and commitment to the people around you. The Holy Spirit empowers you to do the loving thing, even when you don't feel like it. That's how we keep Jesus' commandment. And in a way, it's a lot like the honey if you love me game. Right? Jesus was the one in the middle reaching out to others. But now it's our turn. And maybe you don't want to be in the middle. Maybe that feels too hard for you. Maybe you don't know if you can make the other person smile. But it turns out that surprising things happen in this game, in this life. The Holy Spirit strengthens you, and then you go up to someone, you show them love, even if you're not sure how to do it, and they're changed. Then they share that love with someone else, and the next person is changed too. The person in the middle is committed to making someone else smile. It might be tough, but quite often fear and incompetence can give way to laughter and joy. God's love, even from you, does make people smile. Jesus said to us, "Honey, if you love me, you will keep my commandments." And we in the circles of the disciples said, "With the help of the Holy Spirit, yes, we will." In the name of the one who gives us another advocate, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.